Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store. Also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing that you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Today's guest, well, you know her because her family has been on our TVs for a minute now.
Many, many years, yes.
Many, many years. And now she is part of the madness.
Yes, that's right. We saw her grow up in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Her mom is Kyle Richards. Her dad is Mauricio. And they now have their own TV show together as a family that's called Buying Beverly Hills, which is all about the real estate market in Beverly Hills, their family dynamic. It's good. It's on Netflix. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, it's all the sisters. It's a whole family affair. And we are going to ask her all the questions on today's episode.
That's right.
So let's welcome to the Scrubbing In OR, Alexia Umansky. You're welcome, clap. You're welcome, applause.
Oh, thank you. I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Like, I don't know what I'm clapping for, but I'm joining. Thank you for scrubbing in and being on the podcast today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we were very excited to talk to you because there's a lot to talk to you about, I feel. I was going to ask you this. I was curious, have you ever felt like your life was normal in terms of other people's norm?
You know, that's such a good question because I feel so normal. I really, really, really do. You know, the drama and the things we deal with as a family as a whole, like that stuff never feels normal. But like, I also talk to my friends and we all have our family dramas. We all have our things. And I, you know, I'm like, I'm not different. Just a lot more people know about our stuff, you know, but you know, I really do feel so normal.
Well, you know, it's gotta be so weird watching such personal things, especially in your family. Cause I'm from the South, and the thing about the South is that everything is just great all the time for everybody. So I come from a world where no one really talks openly about struggles or family issues. So is there a point where you got to a certain age where you were like, why is all of this so much everybody else's business?
That's interesting. I've never really thought about it like that. But so, you know, the truth is, and we talk about this a lot as a family on our show, mm-hmm. the Buying Beverly Hills. I had to differentiate which one now, which is crazy. But we always were the kind of family that did brush things under the rug, and we did not talk about things internally very much. And I've got to say, you know, I would say the first time our family drama was ever public was when a lot of stuff happened with my mom and her sister in the mm-hmm. beginning seasons of Real Housewives. And that was a very big deal for all of us mm-hmm. and not something I was used to. And I think that's around the time I was just like, I don't think I can watch the show. Oh my gosh. I was 13 when it started. I'm 27 now. I was probably like 13 or 14 when all that stuff started coming out. I think it was season one when there was like this whole big limo fight.
Right, right.
And that was very not normal for us. Mm-hmm. And it was a very big deal. It's a big deal with our family. And so we just kept on brushing most things under the rug, it feels like, for a majority of our life until, you know, now, you know, as a family, the news of my parents' separation came out before we had ever talked about it as a family internally. Oh, wow. And then the cameras for Buying Beverly Hills were coming the very next day. So it was one of those things where I think as a family, we were maybe fed up with brushing things under the rug. I know the sisters were, and we just kind of had a moment. We were like, we need to start talking. Mm-hmm. And the cameras were going to be there anyways. So we just leaned in. And that was in July. So a lot has changed since then. But now we talk about everything.
Yeah, because I saw like the first episode of the season of Buying Beverly Hills. It opens up with that kind of conversation, but it was really quick. And then it says 6 months earlier. And I haven't finished this season yet. So I'm still kind of like in the early episodes. But so do we see all that play out? Like we actually see the conversation of them explain to you what's going on.
So what was filmed was really like two of the four big conversations we've had as a family. And you know, we had one conversation when the news came out, but my sister Farah wasn't there. So the next day when the cameras came, Farah came, and that was the first full conversation as a family we had. So that was as real as it gets and as honest and open as it gets, which is so crazy. And then, you know, when my sisters, that scene that it starts off with, my sisters and my dad, spoiler alert, it kind of, you know, it ends with that again. You kind of see more of that conversation, but you can definitely tell we were very frustrated at that point because we hadn't had more conversations. Mm-hmm. So that was the first conversation with sisters and just dad that we were like, we need to be doing this more. Like we feel out of the loop. We're learning things from TMZ and it doesn't feel fair. So, you know, it was just, it's something that's new for us, honestly.
But is it easier because you were saying that was July. Now it's, I don't even know what month we're in. April.
It's yeah, thank you so much. I know it took me a second.
The eclipse. It's the eclipse in my brain. But is it easier for you guys to kind of do this in front of the cameras because you do have that time? Like you've had all these months to kind of digest what went on, and now the public is like seeing it.
The moments are not easier. I was very, very, very emotional in Aspen the night before when the cameras were coming. I was very freaked out, but I think something about the cameras being on you kind of like snapped me into just more of like a professional mode versus emotional mode. Also, my little sister was there. So there's also the part of me that's, it's time to be a big sister. It's time to be strong. And I think we all handled it very strongly. Which, you know, there's that. But I don't even know. I forgot what you said because my mind's in a thousand places right now. Now I'm like thinking of all the things. The eclipse.
Well, I was curious if before they, because you said they, you found out that they separated before y'all had to talk about it.
No, we found out from the article.
That's what I'm saying. But before y'all got to have a family conversation about it, you found out about it.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But was there a moment that you were watching your parents interact where you were like, because at a certain point, you're mid-20s, you're kind of going,
yeah,
what's going on here?
I know relationship cues. Were you starting to see that stuff, something was going on?
I could tell that things were not the same. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was different this time. People were getting the calls. Typically I'd be like, oh, just another story. But I think that time it hit differently because of what we had been observing. Our parents never fight and it's still a very healthy household, still very full of so much love. But, you know, they were both traveling a lot more and not being as like affectionate with each other as much. And their schedules were just so opposite. And I could tell that they weren't each other's priority anymore. Right. And they were just changing. You know, my mom is in this health mode and she's working out every day and she's sober. And Well, sober. She doesn't drink anymore. Yeah. You know? I don't know. You know, and then my dad is just like on this whole other opposite mm-hmm. grind where he's like opening up these offices. And when he opens up the offices, he goes and he's partying and he's like just in like a totally different mindset. So I was starting to see changes between the two of them and like where interests were not aligning as much. And the interests really where they did align were our family. And naturally we're growing up and we're moving out and we're doing all the things. And so I was piecing it all together, but it was never confirmed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like watching, observing. Cause you've been in your own relationship for a while now.
Yeah, I have. So, 4 years.
So you're like, you know, when communication, when something's, you're able to recognize it once you're in a relationship for a long time.
Absolutely. I just wasn't really ever sure it was going to be that serious. I thought it was just like a moment, you know, which was so natural. So the word separation was the
heavy.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But I feel like that does happen in relationships. You know what I mean? When you have been with somebody for so long, like you go through ebbs and flows and like you're closer at some seasons of life, not so close in some. So it's like,
exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we talk about it a little bit more where it's just 27 years together is it's a win no matter what.
Yeah.
And who knows still what's really going to happen. They're still separated. I don't know what if the D word's gonna happen or what, but
oh right,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's not sure where it's gonna go at this moment. That's where I stand, but you know, it's new stuff,
yeah,
for sure.
Do you now that buying Beverly Hills, because Housewives was always focused on your mom, right? Like the family stuff would come and go, but it was definitely focused on your mom. Now buying Beverly Hills. You're with your family. There's a lot more focus on you.
Yeah.
How has the shift been weird or did you feel like you were ready for it just from the Housewives world?
I had a much harder time with it season one just because I wanted so badly to be such a good agent and I was so nervous of how people were going to judge me because I knew people expected so much from me. And I think I just had this whole existential crisis season one and I just cried so much and I was just so triggered by everything. This time around I just felt way more confident and it was way easier for me and I've always been comfortable in front of a camera, so you know, having all those harder conversations also, you these people come back, you know, the cameraman, you know, the producer like they're starting to become your friend, so it was just so much easier this time around. So I don't know. It just feels natural. It just happens. And I sometimes, you know, I know the cameras are there, but it's so easy to just say what I want to say and feel completely normal.
Yeah. So I was on The Bachelor like years and years ago, but it's so weird that you go on a show and you're being filmed and you're talking every day and you're sharing this stuff. And then I remember there was this moment in between finishing filming and when it aired where I had this moment of thinking about everything I said, going, oh my gosh, people are going to watch this now.
Yeah, that's like, the scariest part.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you feel comfortable with your friends and suddenly you're like, oh God, no.
You second guess everything?
Oh, so there's definitely times I second guess things and I'm like scared. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think I said anything bad. You just can't help but be like, oh my God. I remember your season. I don't think you ever said anything crazy either. Like, you just can't help but be like, was that okay? Oh my God. Like I said something or whatever. I like my voice sounded weird or I laughed weird or just little things like that. Like you never know what people are going to come at you for. So.
Right. Are they going to take that out of context? Are people going to take it the wrong way? But you really can't prepare. I was going to say, I just was this random person who got selected to be on a show and I had no idea what I was getting myself into because I had never experienced just blatant hate towards me or just people not liking me because I never had that many eyes on me. So that was such an adjustment when once the show ended and I was on social media seeing what people had to say about me when they didn't know me. And I was curious if you struggle with that, like and having people talk about your family and feeling the pressure or the need to defend them or step up, or do you just go, they're going to say what they're going to say?
I think for me, it's a little easier. I definitely get some mean comments here and there. And it, again, used to affect me way more, especially when it was me in terms of my business because I was so serious about it. But when people attack my character, I'm like, they don't know me. Yeah. They really don't. But the people what I never am okay with is how people speak to my mom. And I see how much it really affects her. Mm-hmm. And I know she's strong and she's fine, but she's also like a very sensitive person. So I think I've trained myself to turn that off because I want her to turn that part off of her mm-hmm. so many times. And I see what people say to her and I see how wrong they are, but she internalizes them. And I'm like, they right. don't know you. You raised me. I know you. Like right. if I love you and I admire you and I tell you you're the best person in the world, like, trust me, that's the truth, you know? And so that's never easy. I really don't like when people go after yeah. my family. Seeing those parts, I'm always so annoyed. Like if anyone comments on my pictures about my family, I'm deleting. But if anyone trolls me, I kind of keep it because I like it. I'm like, okay.
You're like, keep the real fans will come to my defense. If it's about my mom, it's no one needs to see it. But if yeah, it's about me,
just like, that's your bitty. That's kind of funny. That's fine. I mean, I don't yeah. know. I'm sometimes entertained. Like one time someone was like, you look like a lizard next to your sisters. And I was like,
you look like a what?
A lizard. I was like, okay, I'll take that. That's fine. They're beautiful.
Yeah, cute. Yeah, I like a little lizard.
Well, I was thinking though that, you know, we were saying, we've talked about how people feel very brave behind a computer or phone when they're commenting, you know, there's no, they'll just go for it. But has yeah. anyone, because Bravo fans are so intense. They're so passionate. Have yeah. you ever been, had an experience with a fan that came up and said something like to that degree to your face or to your mom's face while you were around?
No.
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 No, nobody no, says it never. To your face.
Everyone's so nice, honestly.
Yeah.
I love when people come up and say hi to us. Everyone's always really sweet. It's only just the people on the screens, the trolls.
Yeah. The trolls.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Rakuten is a rewarding way to shop and save because members earn cash back on everything that they buy.
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category like beauty, clothing, electronics, pets, and more.
You're already shopping at your favorite stores like Macy's, Best Buy, Petco, so why not be saving while doing it? It's a no-brainer.
Rakuten is the easiest and smartest way to find the best deals and savings. And every time I visit Rakuten.com, I'm always shocked by the thousands of brands that are featured.
Me too. Did you know that Ticketmaster is one of those brands? So next time you're trying to see your favorite artist live, you can earn cash back when buying tickets with Rakuten.
And the best part, membership is free and it's easy to sign up.
Plus, cashback rates change daily, so you can keep checking to find the best deal.
The stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You can get paid via check or PayPal quarterly.
Rakuten has 17 million members who are already saving, and their members have earned over $4.6 billion in cashback.
Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up.
Okay, I want to get to you and your relationship.
Okay.
So y'all been together, you said 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
How did you meet?
We actually met in elementary school. I came to his school in third grade, and we've just been friends ever since. He was always like in my friend group, and then in high school we became inseparable. High school, I had a boyfriend for 6 years. Boyfriend was like, this relationship's too close, you know? Like, so we kind of had like an off couple years, but The second I broke up with that boyfriend, we were best friends again and hanging out all the time. And literally just best friends. He was the only boy that was ever allowed to drive me in high school. He was my carpool. I was only allowed to go to Coachella in high school if he chaperoned me. So he was always my...
So your parents love him?
My parents always loved him.
Yeah.
He always took care of me. And I was just, we always had the best time together. So, and then 4 years ago, finally we made it happen.
I was going to say, how did it turn from best friends to lovers?
So it was so always very platonic lovers.
Yeah, lovers. She always makes those things kind of weird.
I just have to like take it to the, yeah.
I mean, there's no other word, right?
Yeah. What was the shift?
The shift was, so it was, it's kind of awkward, but it was always platonic between us because in seventh grade guys, he was my best friend's first kiss and boyfriend. Oh. So in my world, he was just never an option. And it just stayed that way. We were best friends, but there was never any romance. And then actually in college 1 year, that best friend who's still my sister, she was like, you guys are in love and you'd be idiots to not admit it to each other. And I was like, no, we're not. Absolutely not. You're crazy. And she's like, no, you're being crazy. And it like opened up my eyes and I was like, okay, I didn't realize I needed that okay and that green light. Mm-hmm. It shifted like that moment. I was like, oh my God, maybe I am. And I was like, oh my God, I have been this whole time. And I had to kiss him first.
Yeah, nice. You gotta see if the connection.
I kissed him
first.
Oh, you
kissed him first.
Yeah. And I was like, we're never talking about this ever again. I was like, that was a mistake. We're not doing this again. And then, complicated story, but he ended up choosing someone else for 2 years. Yep. He dated someone else. And he was like on the fence.
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. So it kind of got brought up 6 years ago, but the moment wasn't right. He met someone else, like right as I opened up my eyes to it. And I was like, listen, we're best friends. If you're not sure about this right now, we're not going to go into this because we're best friends. Let's not ruin that. So we took a step back. I remember us saying, if it's meant to be, it'll be. And 2 years later, it happened. It just happened. It was pretty crazy.
Did y'all stay best friends when he was dating the other girl? Or did she say, like, there's got to be boundaries here?
we were always best friends, but there was definitely, like, a boundary. I mean, and he loved her so much. And I also really, really liked her, too. And I was never waiting, you know? I was never that person that was, like, you know, hoping badly for them. I really liked her. And we still talk ever so often. And she broke up with him actually. So
yeah, like, girl code not broken.
Yeah, exactly. So
wait, so they break up and then how did he came running back?
Sort of. Yeah, pretty much. I'm like getting hot. Well, you know, I feel like I didn't do anything wrong here, right?
No, you didn't.
No,
not at all.
I feel like it was all very respectful. You waited.
Exactly. And, you know, it was her call and it was never, I dated other people. I was never waiting. I was never doing anything, you know, slimy on the side. Like it was very, very, she knew about what had happened too. She found out.
Kissed.
Yeah. She knew that we kissed. And we were fine after that, honestly. I think once it was all out the bag, like, it was like, okay, now I know.
Yeah.
So honesty is the key.
Yeah.
Aside from you being like, okay, my best friend kissed him or had a crush on him or whatever that was in seventh grade, during that whole time before y'all kissed again, or before y'all kissed, did you ever think did you have feelings for him and you were just like, I can't go there? Or you never even saw him that way?
I'm scarily good at shutting off feelings and like shutting off people.
Avoidant attached.
Yeah. I'm very good at like, if this isn't for me, it's like I'm done. So I never, we ever so often we'd meet up, we'd have like a hangout with our dinners and like friends, whatever. And like we always had a special connection, but we never acted on any of it. It was just one of those things where I never allowed myself to feel anything that wasn't meant for me. Yeah. So I think that's kind of how it was for me, you know, until I got the green light from my best friend, I was just shut off. But the second it was okay, it turned back on. And when, you know, he was dating this other girl, it was shut off. And it was, I never allowed myself to go there. And when I dated these other guys, I was only thinking about those guys. I was never thinking about, you know, what was some diabolical plan, you know?
Right.
But, you know, my relationship didn't work out. And then maybe like a month or two later, his relationship didn't work out. And we were both just there. And it was like,
should we?
Do we try this? Like, and, you know, he was like, I'm ready for you to be my girlfriend. I was like, okay, hold on, slow down. You literally just, like, this is too fast. I remember I chose our anniversary because I didn't want to be right when it started because it was just like, this is too soon. Like, we need to, I don't know.
You just picked a date that felt good.
Yeah, exactly. I actually chose the date. I kissed him the first time.
That's cute.
And it, like, weirdly lined 2 years later. That like we had been hooking up for like a month at that point. And I was like, I feel like a month later is good, you know?
Like, I feel good about this.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Okay. So Tanya had a conversation. Our friend Jason, he talks a lot about finances and relationship and the conversations that you should be having before you get into a relationship. I found it really interesting because
thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a great interview.
Thank you.
I was curious because y'all grew up together. And then you're in a relationship, I'm assuming. Do y'all live together?
Yeah, we recently moved in, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So have y'all had any of those conversations about like the financial and how you're addressing those things moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. I was having those conversations way before we even moved in together.
Oh, wow.
I've always been very honest about what I want my future to look like. And I, you know, just was like, hey, we need to make sure our goals align. And we actually have a plan now to go to like Soho House one day and sit with our bottle of wine and really go over all of our financials, like what our travel plans are going to be, like really go over the math of what our rent's going to look like by the end of the year. And just like our savings, et cetera, and just like really plan out everything. I always made it also very clear that I want to be very part of it all and involved. Mm-hmm. So we split our rent 50-50, all our furniture is 50-50, like everything is ours. So, you know, we're always having those conversations. I do think it's so important to talk about what you want and what your goals are.
I think it's so funny because it's a conversation I feel like not a lot of people have or like are not comfortable having,
yeah.
You know, like, and I feel like with my fiance, we've always had conversations like that. But like I was reading this book and I was like, I didn't know what his credit score was. Like I didn't even really know what my credit score was, if I'm being honest. But like, you know what I mean? Like I was like, oh my gosh. And I feel like I'm very on top of it. And like, I'm very, you know, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of room to like really grow and be more proactive in this space. Cause it's like when you're combining two lives, there's so much to it.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of weird to say this, but business transaction.
Totally.
You know, you have to make, it's going to be your partner for the rest of your life. You have to make sure you work together well. You know, I remember in the beginning of our relationship, not the beginning, but when I wanted to start having these conversations, I'd be like, so, like, what are your goals? And he'd just be like, oh, just have a nice, happy family. And, like, I'd think, like, okay, like, that's so sweet, but we need a little bit more here. Like, let's talk, like, real steps.
Right.
How do we get there, you know?
Right. What city are we living in? How many bedrooms of a house are we having?
Exactly. Yeah. And I tell my friends this all the time. I think that money should be a very important part of the conversation. I mean, it's a common misalignment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
One of my friends was just talking about how someone she liked wasn't, didn't want to send their kids to private school. And she really wants their kids to go to private school. And that's something I don't think about. I'm like, that's an important, you know, piece, especially if both of you are so strong-headed about it.
Yeah.
Just it's important to just make your plans, talk sure. about those yeah. things, even if it's awkward. Be like, listen, if we're being real, we need to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
I think there was a whole, you know, the generation before us was like, it's all about love. If you find someone you love, you can get through anything. And it's like, sure, maybe that's true. But why not set yourself up for success and have these conversations so that there's not a surprise or there's not a misunderstanding? And obviously there's ups and downs in life and not everything's predictable. But I think it's just being smart enough to go, are we at least on the same page in terms of what we're hoping for?
Yeah, what the end goal is.
Yeah, what the end goal is.
You know, obviously we all want to be happy and in love. But what if, you know, like things happen?
Yeah. My best friend is obsessed basically with the whole show. And she loves...
Your best friend, huh?
Oh, sorry. One of my best friends.
One of my best like friends, Brittany.
I know. I related to that. When you're like, when your sisters are hanging out, I'm like, I get it. I literally feel like you.
One of my other best friends, Brittany, she was saying she loves your relationship with your sisters and how close y'all are. Has it always been that way? Because I have three sisters, so I know the ups and downs of sisterhood, stealing of the clothes, all the things. But in terms of just life, do you relate to that?
My sisters and I are so close. We have always been that close. We never fight. I think growing up, our biggest fight with Sophia and I was who was going to click the elevator button. We both wanted to click it so bad, but it was never, I don't know what the recipe is, what we're doing right. But they're my best friends. Like, there's no details to it. It's just, we are best friends. We are obsessed with each other. I look at Portia and I'm just like, you are the coolest person I've ever seen. I love her. Sophia, I'm obsessed with. She's funny. And all of us are so different from the other. There's not two of us that are alike.
Yeah.
Farrah, I look up to so much. She's admirable, and she's, oh man, when she lets loose, she's the funniest, most fun person. Like, we just have so much fun all the time. And I think maybe because we're so different,
yeah,
we don't, there's not really that competitive yeah. aspect, or, you know, like we don't really borrow that many clothes from each other because we all dress different. Yeah. So it just works.
But you get jealous.
I get jealous when they're all vibing without me.
I'm yeah.
Like, what are the ages? Everyone's ages.
Farrah's 35, I think. And then I'm 27. Sophia's 24. And Portia's 16.
Okay, yeah. So that's amazing that y'all are so close. Because that's like 35 to 16 is a big gap.
Yeah. They're 19 years apart. Is that math? Is that math? Mathing?
Not the right two to ask. Right. But we're
especially gonna, with the solar, around there, with around the solar there. Eclipse brain. Don't even get me started with math. Like.
But actually, the age difference between my mom and Farrah is the same age difference between Farrah and Portia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 19 years apart.
Oh, wow. Right. Your mom had Farrah when she was 19. Mm-hmm. I did do that math at one point.
I have a question about your parents. Have you experienced, and if you're comfortable sharing this, have you experienced them dating other people since their separation? And would you be comfortable? How do you feel about it if you have?
I'm, you know what? The goal is really just for them to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. So at the end of the day, if they end up together or not, like, I just want them to do what's best for them. And I kind of did have a conversation with, I think, both of my parents, where I was just like, you don't have to make this decision for me anymore.
Right.
Like, do what's best for you. And honestly, there's like a beauty in trying something new. I mean, you've had 27 beautiful years together, and you guys get to like test the waters and see what's working for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to let them speak on their dating life. But whatever they do and whatever makes them happy, for the most part, I will support.
I love to say, coming from someone who has stepkids in their life, are you going to be nice to those other people?
I'm a nice person. If you're okay, nice, good. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice
okay,
back.
Okay, good, good, good.
That was the thing.
But if you mess with me.
I do think you're at a good age, too, where you're able to have that emotional maturity too, and just being like how important it is to see your parents happy regardless of what that looks like or who they're with.
Yeah.
And obviously you, I think the fact that you and your sisters love each other and are so ride or die and get along says so much about your parents, because I think that comes from how you're raised and the household you're raised in.
Absolutely.
And so I think that you having the emotional awareness and maturity to say like, you don't have to do this for us, at least for me, I think that's amazing. And I respect it.
One of the things, like, you know, I was worried about Portia with this whole thing, because the rest of us were, we're adults. Right. I was really worried about Portia when this all came to light. But the reality is Portia has, four moms. We've all been like moms to her. I saw someone commented on Instagram, like, where's Portia? We're worried about Portia. I'm like, she is so fine. She's getting so much attention from all of us. Like, I just chaperoned her 16th birthday in La Quinta. It was really fun. Like, you know, I love picking her up from school, dropping her off. She's best friends with Sophia. Like, they have their moments. She had a one-on-one lunch with my dad the other day. We went to Cabo with our mom. Like, we're always just together no matter what. So it's really nice just having that, having that stability. Like, even if the parents are going through the thing, like, you have the sisters like coming in and making sure everything's okay.
Yeah. Y'all really stick together. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes, 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Tanya, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home?
Honestly, no, there's not.
I swear when my house is clean, I feel motivated to do more, like at-home workouts or organizing my closet. I just feel more productive, like I'm ready to take on the day.
I totally agree. When my kitchen is clean and spotless, it makes things like meal prepping fly by. Clorox Scentiva provides a trusted clean with refreshing scents.
Find your home's signature scent. Is it coconut, grapefruit, or lavender? There's a scent for every vibe.
Step up your cleaning game.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Speaking of, y'all stick together so much that you all work together. You work as a family together. What is that, Dana? I don't think I could work with
anyone in my family. Honestly, could not.
It has its challenges, honestly, but for the most part, we just have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the good thing is about real estate is that we're always doing different things. So the way our team is built is that we have obviously my dad, Farah, and me. But my dad's the CEO and he's traveling and he's doing his CEO meetings and whatever. And then Farah and I split our clients. So we're not working with the same clients usually at once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have our team meetings, but we actually keep our inner workings pretty separate. Which I think is good in terms of just keeping the dynamics healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel like when I watch these shows, any real estate shows on TV, they make it look just, it looks so easy. Like anyone could do it. But I'm curious about the realities of doing it, but also doing it and filming it and having it recorded and being on camera. What the reality is of it?
Well, first of all, every deal that we do, every listing that we have on the show is real.
Okay.
So anytime we're like, oh, this one sold, it actually sold. We went to Miami, we got $1 billion in listings. We actually got $1 billion in listings, which is crazy. So we're really working it through that process. And we're almost like working double. Well, we are literally working double time. We're doing a show and we're selling houses, but we're working the real estate part triple time because we want to look good. We're like, shit, if I don't sell a house during this 10 weeks that we're filming, this is going to be so embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's stressful, especially because we did film at a very bad market.
Right.
Thank God I got that one sale. Oh my God, the Venice house, thank God. But it's scary and it's, you know, you just want to prove yourself. At the end of the day, real estate is a relationship build business. And it's about your, who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. People pick you based on, you know, like, yeah, there's stats, but a lot of people are very successful out there. So it's about who you are and, you know, you want to put your best self out there. So it's a lot of pressure.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the real estate market? Because what the heck?
Tony wants to buy a house and she's like, what the heck?
What the heck? Why is my mortgage $15,000 when it used to be five?
Okay, listen, you can always refinance your mortgage rate.
When?
Anytime it changes.
But when is it going to change? You don't know.
So yeah, that's the one thing. Yeah, you're stuck until it changes.
Right.
But you know, they say all these things. It's going to change. This year's going to be really good. They're telling people that you should buy now before it does drop. And then everyone who's been waiting comes it at once. They're kind of like, if you think it's going to change soon, get in on it now. So it's not like piranhas going after all the good stuff.
Right.
And then you can refinance. So that's like people's plans.
Do they feel like that's, I mean, from what you hear, is there a world?
Yeah, word on the street. What's the word on the street?
Is there a spidey sense that that's going to happen?
I get so nervous telling people because like, yes, they are saying it's going to happen, but I don't, there's obviously no promises, but it is projected to be projected to be a drop this year.
I mean, what goes up must come down.
Exactly.
It's just science.
I mean, those numbers that we saw this last year were just insane. To go any higher would be astronomical.
Well, that's what I've heard a lot of people say is if you find something that you love and you can do it, get it, and then be prepared to refinance when it drops. Because what's going to happen is as soon as it drops, it's going to be vultures. And it's already, it's still competitive.
Exactly.
Like, do you find that it's still competitive? Even with the interest rate and the prices, it's still a competitive market.
Well, especially now, this new year is bringing in a lot more people. So
new year meaning 2024?
2024.
What's 2025 looking like? Do they tell you like those things?
Okay. This is above my pay grade. I don't know.
Well, it's like one of those things.
I have a guy for this.
No, but like conversations about money. And like, I always said, like, I wish in college, oh, by the way, I knew you went to University of Arizona.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh my God, no way.
And you were Alpha Phi.
Oh, you were? I was not, too.
I was a Theta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did a little research. But
wait, were you there at the same time as me?
No, I'm 36. So actually, funny enough, I know Melissa Platt, who is on Buying Beverly Hills. Yes. Yeah, she was in my sorority.
She was just at our house for Easter, spent the day with us. She's one of our close friends, all of us.
She's the cutest.
She's the cutest. She really is.
She really is. She's the cutest. But in college, I was like, they should teach us stuff like buying a house, health insurance, all these basic, you know, financial planning and all that stuff. Because I'm like, once you become an adult, it's just like, it all just hits you. And you're like.
So I actually started a, what's the word? Networking event that I'm trying to do quarterly, called Adulting is Hard. Oh. And it was, the first one was about building a good credit score so you can prepare to eventually build a house one day.
Right.
And that all happened. This whole idea happened because I had no idea you needed a credit card to build a credit score.
Right.
And my boyfriend actually got me my first credit card. And I looked at my dad and I was like, I am an adult. I've been working for 3 years and I could have been building a credit score this whole time and you said nothing.
You didn't tell me anything. Yeah.
Oh, I was livid. I was like, I genuinely thought like someone, you know, they're watching, like, where's my credit score?
Right.
I had no idea. So my first one was about building a credit score and I was it was about explaining, you know, why you need a good score for your future home. And is, you know, that was the first one. The second one was about financial planning. So it was about, you know, starting your retirement fund and investing. Mm-hmm. So these are all things I never learned and I wish I did.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's funny because I did grow up very comfortable and, and I am very privileged and I do acknowledge that. But there's almost like a piece that you miss when you're so comfortable that you're not like pushed to do these things.
Right.
And then I have, you know, friends that, you know, don't have a parent to teach them these things.
Right.
Like my partner, I'm not speaking, you know, on a podcast, but she lost both of her parents and she's like, I didn't know these things either. So we have two people on two very opposite spectrums that like, you know, we're like, this is something that should be done. We need to have these moments. And then we have cocktails, we make it fun and we talk to people. We did bowling last time and it was, you know, it's just something I think should be more normalized is these conversations.
I'm with you.
That's such a great idea that you're doing that.
Yeah.
There needs to be courses and they need to make it enjoyable and fun because I'm not going to go sit in a lecture hall and like be taught again how to do these things.
Exactly.
So. I would have like so much rather sat in my college halls and
I know
about
we're
that,
all about
of, like,
that.
Lions
so
and
about
tigers
now.
And bears. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Teach me about 401k.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Yeah.
So at my last Adulting is Hard session, he's like, I got up on stage, I'm introducing our guys. I'm like, yeah, like he's going to teach us about, retirement funds, whatever. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep it simple. Talk about 401k. I'm like, what? I'm like, you're what? I genuinely didn't even know what that was.
Yeah.
And then I think everyone like started laughing in the room because I already had set the precipice. Like, I'm hosting this thing, but I don't know anything.
But
you
that's
know,
the
I'm
thing.
Here with
everybody's
you. I'm
like, everybody's
too.
Embarrassed to say, I don't know. You know, we all are in these conversations and you're like, yeah. You know, but like nobody knows anything. And like, I mean, now I know a little bit, but I mean, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I finally know what a 401k is.
I know.
4 months ago, I learned that. Thank you very much. I'm 27 years old.
I might need to know when your next one is because I feel like.
I like
the vulnerability of you also not knowing what we're learning about.
I definitely make sure to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And then it really, I mean, our 30-minute session ended up being an hour and a half because everyone started asking everything.
Yeah.
And I make sure I'm like, I need you to rewind 101 for dummies.
Yeah.
You know?
But it also makes people feel comfortable. Like if you're the host and you're asking, they're like, okay, I can ask too.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you... waiting or interested in getting a ring on your finger?
Obviously.
I
definitely,
you know, you were like letting him know that it needed to happen.
We talk about getting married. Like we know it's going to happen. We were just in Cabo with my mom and sisters and I told my sisters and my mom, like I asked my mom for ring advice because I don't know anything about rings. And we looked at pictures and I was like, okay, send that over. Send that text him right now. So, you know, but him and I know what's happening. Like that's not even a question. It's just a matter of when. Like he always tries to talk to me about it. I'm like, stop talking. Like I need it to be a secret.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't like, be surprised.
And I never get my nails done. I told my sisters, if you guys invite me to get my nails done, I'll be upset with you because I know it's going to be coming. So don't tell me that. I'm like, it just, I want it to be a surprise, even though I know it's coming.
Right.
So we're excited about that. Yeah.
I love that you want
to just choose my ring, but who knows what he'll end up getting. He could end up getting something totally different. Who knows?
You're like, listen to whatever my mom sends you, follow that advice.
We did just measure each other's ring fingers. I like brought home, you know, that jewelry store, Missouri.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They sent me a ring measure and I brought it home the other day and he was like, oh, yes. He kept trying to put it on my finger. I'm like, here, let me have it. No, I want to do it. I want to do it. He would just like wanted to put the ring sizing on my finger.
Wow.
So, you know, it's very open conversation. But when is the question?
I love that you want it to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And I love that he's probably just as excited about that.
We're excited. I mean, it's, it's been 4 years, but I'm not in a rush, actually.
Okay, see, that's what I was getting at. Oh, is she okay. in a rush? Like, you know, some of you are...
It's fine. It's fine.
I want to be prepared.
It's fine either way.
I want the ring to be something I like. But yeah. I'm not in a rush.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it's coming, so you're at peace with that.
Exactly. That's where I'm at mentally.
Okay, what about career-wise? What are your hopes and dreams, and what are the next years look like for you?
So I definitely want to sell more. This year was slow. 2023 was slower, and I just want to be way, way more successful in the numbers era. Oh, not era. What's the word?
Department.
Department, thank you. Era. It's such a word right now. Yeah. And then additionally, I feel like our office is still, kind of like post COVID. I hate talking about COVID all the time, but it's still in that post COVID moment where people aren't showing up to the office all the time. And we used to have this shot o'clock every Friday where at 5 o'clock every Friday, we'd have shots and just like little things that have, changed since COVID, where a lot more people are working at the office. I just want to focus a lot more on the culture of our company this year. I talked to my dad. I was like, I want to have a Topgolf event with people at our office. I want to have a bowling event. I want him to have, you know, dinners with people. I was like, I want to feel very involved, especially with the show coming out. I don't want it to be so alienating. Mm-hmm. I want us to still feel very part of the mix. Especially, I just know people feel different and, you know, look at people differently sometimes. And I just don't want to open the window to that possibility. Yeah. Like, I want us to be, like, I want my sisters at every event we're going to do. So I want to focus a lot on the company this year and just being part of that, too. Yeah.
Like the community of the company.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I find that you really value that.
It
seems like you do with your family, with work, your friends.
Yeah, I have a giant group of friends. I'm very focused on keeping that together as well. That's just my thing, I guess.
I love that.
I didn't really realize that until you just said that out loud. I'm like, you're so right.
It's a very special quality because a lot of, especially with everyone being on their phones, and it's like you can barely get people to look you in the eye when you're having a conversation. I feel like having that is such a gift because it like bring people together and reminding them about community and how important it is to have that.
Yeah.
Is crucial.
It
I think
really
to success.
Is.
I think so too.
And everything.
It's community is the key
everything.
Word there. Exactly. I went to my school was called a community high school and I'm still so involved in it. It's important to focus on the community. All my friends are from my high school.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Milken.
Oh, okay.
It's a Jewish school by the 405.
Yeah.
But yeah, we literally have this group of like 50 friends that we see each other every month, every week, and we treat each other like a family. And I really do think it's because that word cult community mm-hmm. was so embedded in us and we nurtured our relationship so much.
Did you say 50? 5-0?
Yeah, 5-0.
A group of 50 people?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's wow. obviously like the subgroups, but when you get everyone involved, it can be up to 50.
Yeah, the subgroups.
That's so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you would have had that if you still lived in your town, your high school town.
For sure.
I'm definitely very lucky.
I keep looking at her hair and I'm like, do I need to get a cut like
it's
Alexia?
So cute.
I cut
so
12
cute.
Inches.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. You're
Thank
so,
you so
chic.
So
Thank
chic.
You.
It's funny because
yeah,
you
my
can...
ballet flats,
yeah, you're
short
so...
hair.
Well, yeah, cardigan. I'm like...
You give... Oldest sister mentality. I haven't met your oldest sister, but you definitely have that energy.
Yeah, you do.
I'm kind of like the grandma of the group, honestly.
Yeah,
but
like,
I'm also really
chaperone.
Fine, I promise.
Yeah, I'm like, I want you to chaperone my birthday in La Quinta.
Yeah. Oh, I can definitely, if you get me in a party room. But you know, during the week, I'm very conservative. I don't wear makeup, really. I like my sweaters, my baggy jeans.
You're everything.
Thank you.
We love you. Yeah. Thank you for scrubbing
Thank
in
so
and taking time to be
in.
On the podcast.
Thank you guys
we
so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Yay!
We just clap, clap in, clap out.
Prep.
presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps get them through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.